Here's what Christmas time looks like at my house. There is complaining, there is whining, there is unwillingness to pick up toys. There is kicking, there is biting, there is punching. There is arguing, there is more whining, there is meltdowns. And it goes on. There is bad attitudes, grumpiness, timeouts, yelling, and dizzying movements. And sometimes the kids act up as well. But every once in a while, the clouds of Christmas chaos part, and light streaks down into our home, and we have a Christmas moment with each other. Christmas moment is those times where your heart is so filled with love that you feel like it's just gonna burst out of your chest. A Christmas moment is that time where you don't worry about the dishes and all the laundry. You are able to be fully present with those that you love. A Christmas moment is a little piece of heaven right upon the earth. I wonder who you've been able to share your Christmas moments with. Were you able to call a friend on the phone and tell them about the grandkid who's making you so proud? Were you able to look through your iPhone pictures and just remember those moments in this Christmas that were so meaningful to you? Did you write them in a journal just to get them out on paper? Christmas moments. My family and I, a couple days ago, had a Christmas moment. Trey, my 7-year-old, was just pleading with us to go sledding. And Irie, our 3-year-old, was just nagging us that she had to make a snow angel. And so Stacy and I were like, it's cold outside. We have so much to do. But finally, the pleading was like, come on, Dad. And so we bundled them all up. And we headed outside, and before you knew it, we have to walk this little teeny path to the park. And at the park by our house, it's just like a perfect 30 feet high sledding. You can just sled right into the playground equipment. Perfect. So as we're walking there, Irie already has 10 snow angels made, right? And Trey has already run up and down. And even though we can't explain to him that you need a hill to sled, he's still trying it out, of course. We try to make a snowman with each other. And then we do something that you see all the time in Highlands Ranch. We do a thing that's called burpees as a family. Now, burpees are an aerobic exercise. Come on, you don't know this? So let me just give you an example of what you do. When you do a burpee, step one is a squat, okay? Step two is a front plank push-up position. Step three is a return to the squat. And step four, it's a jump high in the air. So for some unknown reason, our family decides, let's do 50 burpees before we get to the park. Because you see this every day. And so as we're doing these burpees, and yeah, we're just going to own it. The Fredricksons are nerds. We are nerds. And we're going to embrace our inner nerd and just let it shine for the world. So as we're doing these burpees with one another, there's just this sense in the air of joy. And we didn't plan it, but it starts to happen slowly. And so this is Irie's version of the burpee. You may relate to this. This is what we call just a burpee flop. Just boom, right on the snow. And so we get to the playground, right? And we're sprinting up this hill and we're all going down our sleds as a family. And it's just like heaven on earth. Just a moment of this sense of goodness and love and peace amidst all that chaos. And then, of course, Trey starts going on his own, like 7-year-olds do. And I look over, and he's built a small jump, right? And so before I can actually kind of check out the jump and make sure it's okay, he flies off his little saucer, and he hits his head on the pavement, of course. And then he moans and groans on the pavement, right? I walk over to him. I look him in the eye, and he gives me one of those little grins. He takes his little sledding saucer, runs to the top of those tubular slides, you know, that they have, 15-foot drop, and all of a sudden, all I hear is this commotion in this tubular slide, and he just flies out of this slide, and then he goes like this, fist pump to dad, as if the whole world is right, okay? And so Stacy and I, we're just laughing, and Stacy and I start running up the hill because we have to go back and forth to let the kids off, and we're actually racing. We're like grown adults racing up this hill, and then we're trying to talk our three-year-old into actually sledding down this hill by herself, right? So finally, she decides to go down this hill, and with Irie, she's so little that it's actually sledding is more like a hop sled. She's just kind of bouncing down this little hill. And as she bounces down this hill for the first time on her own, these little words come out of her mouth. Yeah, baby. and we're like, where did that come from, right? So we're up down the hill once again, over and over again. Yeah, baby. So then comes to, you know, we've laughed, and our butts are soaked, right? And our faces are gleaming with this sense of joy. And I turn to Stacy, and I'm like, do we have to get home? And Stacy's like, no, there's nothing waiting for us. And we had this sense of, we can just be here at this sled park, cold and wet, and just have a ball. And then so we sled, and we sled, and we kept on going. And the last slide of the day, the last sledding of the day, I took Irie to the top, and she had this just sweet little smile on her face, and she says this to me, this been good day, Daddy. Oh, and my heart just melted, this been good day. And I love the way kids can phrase things just so creatively and so neat, this been good day. And so as we walked back to our house, I told Stacy, this been good day. Heaven on earth. These little moments, these little glimpses that we get with our family. Maybe you had it when you fed the homeless downtown. Maybe you had it in your backyard or with a grandkid. Christmas moments are meant to be had by all of us. And in the Gospel of Matthew, what's really fascinating is Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, and he uses this fascinating phrase for us. He says, on earth as it is in heaven, in verse 10. And the Greek way of translating this, it's not as pretty, but it goes something like this, as in heaven, so upon the earth. So Jesus invites all of us to pray this prayer. It's tricky because Jesus is not only inviting us to pray, he's inviting us to act. So as we pray to God to bring heaven down to the earth, we begin caught up in acting that love upon the earth. We are called to bring heaven down to the earth. The message and mission of Jesus is that all this good stuff, all this justice, all this love, all this beauty is to be brought down to this earth. And our calling as people of God is to have more and more Christmas moments with each other. There's a sense that inside of our soul, there's a desire that should spring for us to be looking everywhere for those little Christmas moments, to bring down the heavens for everyone present. And so my simple way of saying this is, as above, so below. As above, so below. And the letter to the Colossians, this four-chapter letter that you heard read, it's essentially a reflection on this fascinating phrase, as above, so below. These early Christians who lived in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, we're reflecting on what does it mean that the God of the heavens came down to the earth? What does it call us to bring heaven down? And how can we not only do that once a year, but more and more, looking for those opportunities, those holy moments in our life, those heaven on earth moments? And so what I want to do is walk you through this passage. It's rich and it's deep, and I hope that in some ways it inspires you in the year to come. The passage starts out at the beginning of the chapter in chapter 3, and it says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, That's simply a desire has been built into your soul to desire these heaven on earth moments. To hear your daughters and your sons and your grandkids yell, "Yeah, baby," as they head down the slide. And so verse 12 says, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves," literally put on the virtues of compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience. Now, these are classical virtues from the ancient world. They thought a little bit differently than we do about how to live an ethical and moral life. They thought that these were virtues that we ascribe to. These virtues came from the heavens above. Heartfelt compassion. This is the same word that Jesus uses when he describes for us that story, the Good Samaritan. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Same word Jesus used. This passage drips for us of Jesus' teachings for us. And so when you look at a virtue, it's not so much did you act in the right or the wrong way, it's did you act with heartfelt compassion to your brother, your sister, your son, your mother? Did you act in meekness to your coworker, in humility? So for an ancient mindset, it was we are going to give ourselves to the lifetime pursuit of what it means to live virtuously. And so the passage goes on and it further defines these virtues for us. And it says, bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. At the heart of the teaching of Jesus, once again, is that call to forgive. Now, I find forgiveness one of the hardest things Jesus asked me to do. But I love what Anne Lamott wrote about it in one of her books. She says that forgiveness is making a decision to drop the punching gloves. Wow. So we are called, if we want to bring the heaven down to the earth, to let go, to forgive even the hardest and most painful places where people have wronged us. The passage goes on, and if you notice the way the passage is structured in the paragraph, this would be the very center. This would be the ancient highlighter right here. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So the greatest virtue, the virtue that the Christian church has celebrated from day one until today, until forever, is love. That soul-shaping and world-transforming love that moves our hearts and transform the world. These are not weak virtues. This is the strength and power that only love can transform our world and our life. And so we are to put on the love. And this is the beautiful language here, the telos, or this is the goal to which all our lives are headed, to be people of deep and rich and abiding love for all. Then verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now right now, if you were an ancient person, the alarm would be going off in your head because peace was a word that the Romans used. They called it the Pax Romana. This meant that Rome was on this mission to expand their territory, to build up their empire, to create new taxes. Rome wanted to be a spectacle for all the world to see. And so these early Christian writers, crafty as they are, creative, say, let the peace of Christ, let the Paxis Christi in Latin rule in your heart. Let this alternative, subversive, powerful love of God rule and reign in your heart that it will transform the world one day. Powerful stuff in these few little verses. And then, of course, when we live out these incredible virtues, when we start to see the practices that we do daily making us more loving, more compassionate, when we start to see heaven come to the earth, we're filled with a thankfulness, this deep sense of thank you for what you are doing within and around me, God. I had another Christmas moment a week ago at the Wildflower Gathering. At the very end of the night, I had this idea. Wouldn't it be cool? We're in the fellowship hall. If every, all 200 of us could get up on the stage around a cross and sing Silent Night. Of course, remember, visionary, not practical. you know, could this be a possibility? How does this work out? Thankfully, there's a lot of good people around me that helped me with all these little details, and we did it. We're up on the stage, and I want to show you a picture that Bill Humans took for us. And so my friend, Luke J, put these lanterns off the cross as a theme for the whole night, and all of us are around that circle. And right about this time, I feel this little tug on my jeans. And I look down, and it's my 3-year-old daughter. And she just holds her little light up to me. Now, at this moment, my pastoral role just ended, and it was all about father role. And I see her sweet, shimmering eyes, and I kneel down, and I light her little candle. And without saying a word, she lifts it to the cross, and then she begins to sing Silent Night. I put my arm around her, and I just listen to that sweet little voice as she sings. And she surprises me because she knows all 4 verses, and she just belts out her heart to God, a 3-year-old. And of course, what's going on in my mind is like, oh my goodness, my little daughter, she knows from God that she is beautiful inside and out. By singing this song, she is singing a song that says, no matter what, I am loved deeply and dearly by God, no matter what happens to me. And of course, as a dad, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is one of those moments. And my eyes welled up as I'm kneeling next to her. And then I'm like, I gotta give a benediction. I gotta end this service, right? Heaven, a little piece of heaven that maybe some of the time that Stacy and I have invested into her, have read her the stories, maybe she's getting it. Maybe she's going to be this great woman that transforms the world. All these thoughts are going through my head. And that says so well, the next verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your heart. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God as we journey to see heaven on earth, to experience Christmas moments in our midst. Sometimes we do crazy things, like singing out loud, like burpees outside of your house. And the last verse, the verse that is my favorite, because the last verse proclaims to us that in the most mundane activities or in the highs of our life, whether you're climbing Mount Everest or washing the dishes in your home, the verse reminds us, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This short passage reminds us, stirs our hearts that our job is to pray for and to work for heaven that comes upon the earth, to keep our eyes and ears open for those Christmas moments. So may you, this day, reflect on Christmas, look through your iPhone and call a friend or write down your story, and may you remember the Christmas season is not officially over. You still have time for another Christmas moment this year. And may you remember, and in the next year to come, look out for Christmas moments when heaven comes to the earth. May these things be so. Amen.